your hands. Just help me get into the spirit here. Thank you. Down the walls and push back the dark. Oh, light of the world, move in our hearts. There's a stirring in the spirit, heaven. Something holy, can you feel it? It's heaven. So let your glory and your power, let your majesty and worth flood the earth, flood the earth. Let the rumors of your kingdom, let your name without reserve. Darkness retreat. Every heart here finds healing. It's heaven. In this moment, you're revealing heaven. Let your glory and your power, let your majesty and worth flood the earth. Light of the world, move in our hearts, it's heaven.
Yes.
Flood the earth. Hallelujah. Let's break down the walls, push back the dark. Light of the world, move in our hearts, it's heaven.
Jesus.
Flood the earth. Hallelujah. We do this. Cause freedom is here. Fear has to leave, pain has to go, darkness retreat, it's heaven. Flood the earth. Freedom is here, fear has to leave, pain has to go, darkness retreat, it's heaven. Flood the earth. Let your let your majesty and words,
yes,
flood the earth. Flood the earth.
Yes, yes.
Let the rumors of your kingdom, let your name without reserve. Your healing flow.
Yes, yes.
Oh, love of heaven. Pour out your spirit today.
Jesus.
On all, Lord, that will receive you, Lord. Just lift your hands and receive whatever you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let you go. Let your majesty and worth flood the earth.
Jesus.
Flood the earth. you are here today.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah.
You know, I like it when the music that is sung is scripturally sound. It is good. It is good, isn't it? I mean, she was singing about fear and doubt. She said, let them be gone, or whatever the words were. But fear and doubt are our two biggest problems, it seems like, as Christians. It seems to be. That's the biggest problem. Fear and doubt. Talks about the glory, the power, the majesty. We get some of that on us. We won't have any fear and doubt, will we? We concentrate on that. We won't have any fear and doubt. Okay. That's powerful. That is, I love that. Well, give you your homework.
Oh, it's a blessing.
I'm kidding. This is something I put together, and you know, we're going through 2 Peter. As we go through 2 Peter, you know, I am discovering new things in 2 Peter. One of the things I started trying to do a few weeks ago was, okay, every Sunday I'm going to read through a book of the Bible. Okay, I just think that'd be a good thing to do. It's kind of hard to do. My Sundays are sometimes pretty busy, but you know, so I'm doing this, and so, you know, when you start off, you try to pick a small book so you can get through them, right? And so I picked 2 Peter. It's small. It's only got 3 chapters. So I've been teaching on it now for several Sundays. And it's not as small as you think it is. It's got a lot in it, you know.
Yes.
And so I'm going, okay, let's see, 2 Peter, are we ever going to get through this thing here? What I did here, I was looking at 2 Peter and I was thinking, you know, the second chapter, and I purposely kind of avoided the second chapter up until now. And the reason I have is that he's going on and on about false teachers. And he just, boom, boom, you know. It's kind of a negative thing, you know. It's kind of like, whoa, you know. I want to spend a lot of time on just how bad these guys are, you know. So I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, you know. I want to focus on positive things, build everything up sort of thing. But, I finally got into it, and I got looking at it and said, well, you know, maybe I can do some comparisons here between here and the letters to the 7 churches in Revelation, you know. And so, but I got a reading through it, and for some reason, I guess the Holy Spirit, I looked at Jude. Mm-hmm. There's a small book. That's a good one to pick for Sunday reading, you know. One chapter, small book, and I got to looking at it, and I said, it sounds an awful lot like 2 Peter 2. And so that's what I did. I took 2 Peter 2, and in the left column, you'll see 2 Peter 2 and the verses 1 through 22, all right? And then I put a few verses in from chapter 3 at the bottom. And then on the right-hand side is I've got some corresponding verses from Jude.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I didn't, obviously they don't all quite line up, but I kind of skipped around in Jude and tried to show how they're similar. Mm-hmm. So, and I got to looking at this, and there's, you know, I mentioned the parable of the wheat and the tares, mm-hmm. you know, and how you've got the good plants mm-hmm. down in the field, you've got the bad plants in the field, but you let them grow up together.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I was listening today, and Jesus said, his disciples said, why do you teach the people with parables? You know, why are you always teaching the people with parables? And Jesus says, because it's not for them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's what's in the parables. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I got to thinking about mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are in the parables. And so one of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is that there are going to be false teachers. There's going to be false teachers, and they're going to look at the beginning like the good plants, not the Christians, not the true believers, okay? They're going to be in there with you. They're going to eat with you, all right? They're going to enjoy your love feast together, as he says. They're going to eat with you. They're going to be with you. And they're going to seem to be a true believer themselves, right? Yeah. But as time goes by, like a weed, as it grows, it's going to change. And this fruit is going to be different from that of a wheat plant, right? A weed, I can tell you, a weed does not produce the same thing as a stalk of corn, all right? It's very different, all right? Very different. They get cuckoo burrs and fly, you know, all kinds of stuff. I won't say what all it is, but it's just very different stuff. And so that's the same thing with false teachers. You'll know them by their fruit, Jesus says. You'll know them by their fruit. When they get mature and they produce the fruit, you'll see, this is not the fruit I want. You see, that's not what I planted. That's not what I wanted. You'll know them by their fruit. So the false teachers are going to come in and be among us. All right? But after a while, we'll know them because they'll start producing the fruit that we don't want. All right, the fruit that we don't want to have. So we can look at our sheets here. There's so many here. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all of these. I just thought I'd pick out one or two, and we could just talk about it a minute. But just to show you how similar the thinking was between Peter and Jude, all right? Just how similar that thinking is in their mind. It's really incredible just how similar all these are. The phrases they even use are very similar. So you know it's the same Holy Spirit who's inspiring this. Amen. Right? It's not, you know, we think of it, you know, these are two separate letters written at two separate times by two separate people. It's the same Holy Spirit inspiring these men to write and teaching them about this stuff. So, I mean, it's just really, it was really amazing to me. And so I thought it's worthwhile to print this thing out and let you look at it. But let's just see. Let's start with the second one, verse 3. And it's the second little box, the second box on there. It says, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. That's in 2 Peter. It says, let's see. Okay, we can so go ahead and look over in 16 of Jude. It says, they will show favoritism to gain advantage. They will exploit you with their false words and their greed. Okay? Now, if you look at those two phrases, they're pretty similar. All right? They're going to show favoritism. They're going to say good things to you. All right? Now, look down at verse 4. It says, for God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. And the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Okay, so he's talking about the angels sinning, chains of gloomy darkness, and the judgment. They're going to be keeping until the judgment. Now look over in Jude. And it says, the angels who do not stay within their own position of authority, but they left their proper dwelling. They didn't stay where they were supposed to stay. They rebelled, right? That's what sin is, rebellion. He says, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness, same phrase, until the judgment of the great day. You can see, man, this lines up. This really lines up, doesn't it? Let's see here. Let's go down to verse 11 of the left-hand side, just jump down to verse 11. It says, whereas angels, although greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Now look over here at Jude and see what he says. He He's talking about the archangel. They were talking about angels, right? He's talking about the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses. He did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand. What did Peter say? Blaspheme about matters of which they are ignorant. All right? So it's the same phrase there. And they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Whoa. Verse 13, just to do one more there. Suffering wrong is a wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you.
Yeah.
They're eating with you. You have a big, social, covered dish social, whatever. They're right there with you. Mm-hmm. And then Jude says in verse 12, these are hidden reefs at your love feast. Mm-hmm. As they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves. Mm-hmm. Shepherds supposed to feed the flock, right? Waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Okay? It just on and on. I'll stop there, unless y'all just see something that jumps out at you you want to talk about. But, you can go on and on. And just take those sheets and you can look them over. But, and then you could probably add some more things to this. Like I say, you could add some probably things from other books and what Jesus said about the Pharisees and scribes. But just compare Jude and 2 Peter and just looking for phrases that are similar. Mm-hmm. And they just jump right out at you. It's really amazing. So I wanted to hit that. And so I think we'll go back now to 2 Peter 3. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But did anybody see anything there they'd like to talk about some more? We can do that.
That first part said they creep in unaware.
Oh, yeah. Where is that now?
They creep in unaware.
Okay. Yeah, this is at the very top. Okay, so let's look at the very top, 2 Peter 2:1. It says, but false prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you.
Yeah.
You're going to have false teachers. We're going to have false teachers. Mm-hmm. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Mm-hmm. And many will follow their sensuality. Mm-hmm. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed.
Yeah. Oh my God. We see so much of that today. And teaching and preaching. And it's sad to say that some of the older, the people that have been saved for a while, sometimes go after such teaching as that. And that really saddened my heart when I see that. They just want something for the sensuals. It says sensuality. Something to arouse them, not so much the spirit, but the senses to arouse. They want something to feed them, not necessarily the spirit. Yeah. But they go after these things. These are things that they can see now and can touch and feel now and can go after. They just go after it. One particular man that I had in mind said he had been saved since he was 5 years old. And I mean, gifted young man, very gifted, very, very, very gifted. Wait till he get almost 20 or 30 years at a ministry and then decide that all that he had learned wasn't right. He wanted to go a different way. He married this young lady, very beautiful, very beautiful. And she had some different thoughts and teaching. And he just went her way. he loved us so much, you know. And it was so sad because he was so gifted and had been walking this way since 5 years old. And to get off track like that was very heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
I still pray for him, Lord, you know, bring him back. Bring him back.
Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We do, but sometimes it comes in, like I said, crept in. It crept in through his wife. He loved his wife. And some of the teachers that she had, really, they had no business getting married. They were really unequal yoked. He saved himself all those years and then got somebody that wasn't. But he followed after her, just like Solomon followed. He did good. Solomon did good for some years. Then he got all them foreign wives, and he started trying to please all them, building each one of them somewhere that they could worship their God.
Yes.
And then, before you know it, he had fallen into worshiping other gods, you know.
Come with me, Solomon. Come with me to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come with me to the temple, Solomon. Come on. Back those eyes. Yeah, you know, I go back to the wheat analogy. We think about the parable of the sower. And he threw seeds out. And some of them fell. And what grew up among the good seeds? The weeds. And he gave the interpretation. Remember, he says, but the cares of the world and the desires for riches, for sensual things, choke the word, and it's unfruitful. So you're absolutely right on that. Absolutely right. That's a sad thing, but that's what false teachers can do. They'll come in and bring, and they'll talk about this sensuality. And what is it? It's the desire of the flesh. You know, Paul talks about the flesh and the spirit warring against one another. Warring against one another. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption.
Amen.
But if you sow to the Spirit,
yes,
you will reap eternal life. So, I didn't think it was going to be all about planting and sowing, but anyway, it seems to be going that way, doesn't it? So we have to be careful not to sow to the flesh, not to give in, you know, and just say, I think I'm just going to lay in bed today, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Or I'm just thinking I'm going to watch this because I really enjoy watching this. You know, there's all kinds of ways that Satan will pull on you. He'll know where you're weak, and he'll use that way. It may be different from somebody else, but he knows our weaknesses. You know, and so he tends to pull on that. And so we have to be aware of his attacks. And that's like I was telling my son. Wake up every morning, put on the whole armor of God. Wake up every morning, make sure you got the whole armor of God. Make sure you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Put on your helmet, salvation. Understand everything that is involved with salvation. When you understand that, you don't tend to be tempted by the world's stuff. When you understand all the riches that you've got in Christ's glory, in Christ Jesus, all right? Talks about we have all the riches, right? Anything we want, anything you ask for, Jesus said, in my name, it'll be done for you. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Well, you got all that. What do you want the world for?
Yeah.
What do you want the world for? This whole world... Now, and this is what I was going to talk about today, is how this world is going to pass away. And I'll get to this next time because I don't have time for it today, but it's going to pass away. It's going to be fervent heat. The elements are going to dissolve. That means they're going to come totally apart with tremendous heat, fervent heat. Everything in the world, everything in it and on it, is going to be totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. every monument man has made to himself is going to be destroyed. You know, you look at the pyramids, you look at the tall skyscrapers, right? You look at the Sphinx and all the other wonderful things, the Eiffel Tower and all these other things. They're all going to be totally destroyed. You won't even be able to recognize them. They'll be totally gone. You know, I walked through a graveyard when I was down there. I stopped and just walked through and was looking at the graves of my parents and everything. And I looked at all the headstones, nice marble headstones, you know, and all the engraved letters on them. And I was looking at them, you know, trying to straighten up the flowers around them and all that sort of thing. And later on, I got thinking about it, you know, all that's going to be gone. Every single thing is going to be gone. Whatever we raise up on the earth is going to eventually be gone. Yeah.
You know, men are trying to build things that will last. They're building some things that they think, I guess like the ship that said it was just unsinkable, could nothing sink, you know.
Titanic,
they
yeah.
try to build things that they say going to last, they're going to outlast. Storms, fires, this, I mean, but if Jesus said it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't care what material you use, what you put in it, how you try to make it last against destruction, it will be destroyed.
It will. And that's okay for us. Believers don't have to worry about that, you know. This is like a nursery, you know? Anybody here still living in a nursery? No, you outgrow a nursery, don't you? And what? All that stuff is that you had in your nursery when you were a kid, it's gone, it's passed away, and you don't miss it, do you? Well, we're gonna have a new heaven and a new earth one day, right? And all this is gonna be gone, passed away, and we won't miss it because of the surpassing greatness of the new heaven and the new earth.
Right.
Where righteousness dwells, as they said. So, hey, it's okay. It's okay. The nursery has served its purpose.
Yeah.
Right? The nursery is going to serve its purpose. This earth is going to serve its purpose. And when it served its purpose, okay, we'll go on. Right? We've got another place. When there is no place for this earth, we'll be okay because there will be a place for us. Because he went to prepare a place for us. And if he's going to prepare a place for us, then surely he will come again and receive us into himself.
Amen.
And where he is, we may be also.
All right.
Father, thank you so much for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for your assurances. We thank you for this gathering of true believers, Father. We just pray that you'll...
Thank you, Lord.
You'll bless our time together. Bless this food. May it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And bless our time of fellowship. May we... lift up one another, encourage one another, build up one another in holiness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Will we need this next week?
No. That's just for you. You won't need it for next week. No.
I didn't get one.
I don't really plan to cover that anymore. Okay. So